Every April, I have the great privilege of being able to go down to the Banner of Truth conference that's organised down in Leicester. And this year, one of the speakers was Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. And I don't know how much any of you know about Dr. Ferguson, but he was saying during the introduction to one of his messages that many of the people that he ministers amongst wonder why he has not changed his citizenship. Because if you're not aware of it, with a name like Sinclair Ferguson, you might guess he's a Scot, but now lives and ministers in the United States of America and has done so for quite a number of years. I'm not sure quite how long it is, but it's a good number of years that he's been over there. And quite a lot of people just kind of assume that he's changed his citizenship and has become a citizen of the United States. But he is a fiercely proud Scotsman. And he says there is no way in the world that he is going to become a citizen of the USA. Such is his pride in his Scottish heritage. It's a great thing to be a citizen. And for many people, being a citizen is a very key thing. I'm not so sure that it's perhaps seen to be quite as important in this country as maybe other people consider it to be in theirs. I think perhaps certainly in countries like the USA, there probably is a much stronger sense of patriotism in their own nation than perhaps exists in this country today. But it is a great thing to be a citizen. I want to just suggest to you a number of issues that come to mind when we think about being a citizen. What's important about it? Why should we worry about where our citizenship is? Well, let me just briefly begin by suggesting six things that come with being a citizen. The first thing we could say is that being a citizen establishes your origin. Now, that's not to say necessarily nowadays that where you are a citizen was your place of birth, because you can change citizenship. But if you've got a UK passport, it establishes, when you're travelling abroad, your origin. If you've got an American passport, when you're travelling abroad, it establishes your origin. It lets people know something about you immediately. Where you're from. What is the place that you call home? So being a citizen establishes your origin. The second thing we could say about being a citizen is that it identifies your fellow countrymen. There was a famous speech, wasn't there, in one of Shakespeare's plays. Friends, Romans, countrymen. He knew who he was addressing. And that is something that being a citizen does. It makes you realise that you're not on your own. You identify with a certain group of people. And you know who your fellow countrymen are when you're a citizen. The third thing that we can say is that being a citizen determines your allegiance and affections. At least in most people it does. Perhaps not quite so much in some as in others. Perhaps not quite so much in some countries as in others. If you've ever had the opportunity to holiday in the United States, you will know that you never travel very far without seeing the stars and stripes flying somewhere. Fierce patriotism. They want people to know who they are. Great allegiance and affection towards the flag in the United States. Much more than exists in this country over the Union flag that we fly. But it determines your allegiance. It determines your affection. That's why Sinclair Ferguson finds it impossible to give up his UK citizenship and to transfer it to the United States. That's where his allegiance lies, back in his homeland where he comes from. That's where his affections lie. Although he's lived away from that place for so long, that place is still home. That's the country that he would live and fight and die for, not the country that he happens to live in. And so citizenship determines your allegiance and your affections. Fourthly, we can say that citizenship influences your nature. Countries tend to have certain traits or characteristics. Some of them might not be true, but there are certain things that people think about certain nations. And I'm not wishing to offend anybody, but you only have to ask people in the UK, what do they think of the French? And we talk about all French people as the French, and immediately people will conjure up certain characteristics about a French person. And simply being French somehow influences the nature of those people that we see. Or we might think of those who come from Scandinavian countries, and we imagine a certain nature of person from that particular place. And very often, of course, because of the place that is home, it does have quite a strong influence upon us. Now, we know very well, of course, that in a place like the UK, it's very hard to describe what your typical Englishman or Scotsman or Welshman might be like, because we know there are all kinds of regional varieties of us as well, aren't there? We know very well that people from Merseyside have a certain image. People from Yorkshire have a certain reputation, and so on and so on. But citizenship has an influence upon your nature because of who you are and where you've been. Fifthly, being a citizen requires of you certain duties and responsibilities. Because I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom, the government can make certain calls upon me. It can require me to pay taxes, and I have to pay them because I'm a citizen. And there are all kinds of demands that it can make upon me because I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom. I have to abide by its laws, and if I don't, and I get caught, then I can expect a due penalty. Because there are duties and responsibilities that fall on me as a citizen. In times of war, those duties and responsibilities can become very large. Now, some of you can still remember a time when people received an envelope through their door and they were in the army, whether they liked it or not. Call up had come. A war was on. And certain duties and responsibilities fell upon our young men in time of war. And in the absence of the young men, certain duties and responsibilities fell upon the women that had never been on them before. Because they're citizens. And that's what happens. And then finally, we can say that being a citizen affords you certain protection and benefits. There are things that we enjoy as citizens of the United Kingdom that perhaps we don't always appreciate, but we have them nevertheless. If you're involved in an accident, you can go to hospital. It won't cost you a penny. Of course it does, because you pay for it every month out of your wage packet, those of you who are working, but it's free. We have police officers who apparently protect us and fight crime on our behalf. We have all kinds of emergency services who work for us. All kinds of things that the government provide for us, some of which we might not be too keen on, some of which we might argue against. But as a citizen of the United Kingdom, there are certain protections and benefits that are ours. And of course, one of the things that's very much in the political news at the moment is the number of people who want to come to the UK from other countries. Well, why? Well, it's all to do with citizenship. They want to call this land their home. And people put their lives at risk to have citizenship of a certain place. So many things that we probably take for granted, we hardly think of them really. People risk their lives for it. Because citizenship is a really key thing. And people will risk death to have it. So citizenship is an important subject, even though we might not think of it very much. And the Bible uses this picture of citizenship to explain that is how we are as Christian believers. We are citizens of heaven. So what I want to do briefly is just revisit those six things, and let's just think about how that affects us as Christian believers. The Bible says you're a citizen of heaven. What does that mean? What's the significance behind it? Well, we've said, first of all, that citizenship establishes your origin. It says where you are from. It says which place is your home. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's fairly emphatic. And that establishes this new origin that we have. If you like, we've been given a new passport. And it's a heavenly passport. That is our home now. That is where we are from. And one day that is where we're going to return. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, we are those who have been chosen and called out of darkness into light. And this is the origins of our citizenship. In Ephesians 2:20, Paul says that we are those who are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And if you're a Christian believer, you have now this new origin. We've just heard, haven't we, that all the old things are passed away. Everything's become new. God has restored us and renewed us in a most remarkable way. And you have been given this completely new identity as a citizen of heaven. And so I want to ask you, as often I've been asking as we've made our way through this series, do you have this new citizenship? Is this now your origin? Can you call heaven your home? Do you know that that's where your Father resides? Do you know that that one day is the place that you're going to return to? Why? Because that's the place that's on your passport now. Heaven. It's a wonderful thing. We need to bear that in mind. As you wake up tomorrow morning to face a new week, you need to remember, I'm a citizen of heaven, going about God's business in this world. This world is not my home anymore. We're going to come on to that shortly. But this isn't my home now. I'm God's. And heaven is my home. Heaven is where I really belong. One day I'm going to be there. And that's going to be wonderful. So it's established a new origin for us in Christ. Our citizenship. The second thing we said is that citizenship identifies your fellow countrymen. Ephesians 2:19. Paul talks about fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It was interesting, a few weeks ago, we were in Southport, well, it was just in Birkdale, and Abraham Thompson had been married earlier in the year, and he invited us through just to a celebration of his wedding, and a lot of Abraham's Iranian friends were there at that celebration. And unsurprisingly, Abraham has made contact with a whole variety of different Iranian people during his time in the UK, and he knows Iranians all over the country. Because that's what Iranian people do when they come to the UK. You can imagine yourself going alone to a foreign place where perhaps you don't know the language very well, and you hear that there are other English people there. There will be a very strong desire in you to meet up with those people, because you know they're going to speak my language, they're going to be like-minded. Compared to the country that I'm in, these people very largely will think like me. We'll have things of mutual interest. There'll be something in you that wants to be with them, or at least meet with them. And there's that in us as Christian believers, or at least there should be. Is there in you? Is there that desire to be with your fellow citizens? These are people you're going to spend all of eternity with. Some of you don't look too happy about that thought. These are the people you're going to spend all eternity with. These are your fellow citizens in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord, so there should be this great sense of fellowship amongst us as God's people. This should come out in Christian believers. It should be evident in us, because we have this in common. Fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household. It's wonderful. We've talked already, haven't we, about being children of God. It's a great thing. So it identifies our fellow countrymen, those who are in Christ with us. Are you one of us this evening? Now you're in the building, you're sat on a seat, but are you one of God's people? Are you one of the citizens of heaven with us? If you're not, you can be. You need to turn to Christ and trust in him. And God will welcome you into his kingdom. And all the things that we're talking about this evening can be yours as well. But it only comes through faith and hope and trust in Christ. So we're citizens together. And it just reminds us of this wonderful privilege of being members of the household of faith together. The third thing we said is that it determines your allegiance and your affections. 1 Peter 2, what did we read? Verses 11 and 12. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Where is your allegiance and where are your affections? Because they should not be for the things of this world. Because this world is not our home. And we're just passing through. We used to sing that when I was younger. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And it's true. We have the word pilgrims used. And John Bunyan, of course, wrote that well-known book, Pilgrim's Progress, describing the life of a Christian who's heading for the celestial city, that place that is really his home. And he has to spend some time making his way through this world. And it's a hard journey. It's a long slog. He faces all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of temptations along the way, all kinds of things that would hold him back and deflect him off the path that he's taking. But that's what God has called us to do. He has chosen not to take us straight into the glory the moment we're saved. And in his purpose, he's called us to keep on living for him in this world, but as citizens of heaven. And so, although we're in the world, this is not where our allegiance is, and this is not where all our affections are, or at least it shouldn't be. How is it with you? We're just pilgrims. We recognize that our stay here is only temporary. Now, of course, that will help us greatly as we go through all our struggles and difficulties. To remember that this is just for a time. It's only for a time. And we have God's promise that during that time, his grace will indeed be sufficient for us. And some of you have been through testing times and you've seen that that is true. It's only for a while. It's only for a short time. One day we will go to our home. But it should affect our allegiance and it should affect our affections. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. You're going to find it hard. Now, you can find plenty of Christian preachers who will tell you that you won't find it hard, or at least you shouldn't be finding it hard. But that's not what the Bible teaches. These things will war against you, but it's only for a time. It's only for a while. Having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, they will speak against you. By your good works, which they observe. Do you have any good works that people can observe in you, that they might glorify God? As citizens of heaven, we for a while are called by God to make our way through this world. And at times it will be a hard, hard struggle. There will be pain, there will be upset, there will be grief. But it's only for a while, because this isn't our home. And one day we will be where we will be forever. The fourth thing is that it influences your nature. It influences your nature. We've been completely changed now. And we can see that in the verses that we've just alluded to, about abstaining from fleshly lusts. That's only possible because our nature has been changed. You can't say to an unbeliever, abstain from fleshly lusts, because they have nothing within them that enables them to do that. They are completely powerless to take that challenge up. They may try it for a while, but it will never last very long. You can only say that to a Christian. You can only say that to one who is a citizen of heaven, because your nature has been changed. That can only be said to you who are Christian believers. Good works. This exhortation for good works can only come to a Christian believer. If you're someone who's still under some illusion that somehow by good works you can become a citizen, then you're completely wrong. This instruction for good works comes to those who are already citizens, because your nature has been changed. And it's only those that have this new nature that are able to do these good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do them. So in this walk that God has called us in, as pilgrims, as those who are sojourners, we're strangers and aliens in this land as we're walking through, yes, there'll be all kinds of difficulties, but at the same time, God will enable us to do good works to His glory. And that, in many ways, sums up so much of the Christian life. Struggling with all of these adversities that come against us, but nevertheless, being those who are overcoming because of Christ who's in us by His Spirit, that we might do good works that God has given us to do, that we might live lives that are to the glory of God. Does that describe you? Are you a good citizen of heaven? Fifth thing, being a citizen requires of you certain duties and responsibilities. So these things that we've been speaking of are a duty and a responsibility of every Christian. So things are kind of building, can you see? Our allegiance and our affections has changed because our nature has changed. And there are certain duties and responsibilities that God places upon us. So all of these things, they're not nice to haves, they're not if you can. These are all things that God requires of us because of our citizenship. He says all of these things God is putting to you, that we should sojourn and abstain, that we should do these good works, because this is what a citizen does. Because being a citizen places you under certain obligations. And as Christian believers, we have those obligations upon us. How are you doing as a citizen of heaven? Are you living up to those duties and responsibilities that God has placed upon you through His Word? And this is why we need one another. This is why our fellow citizenship is so important. Because we can go through this life together, we learn together, we have God's word that we study together. We can encourage one another in all of these things. Because together we are the people of God. And the final thing about being a citizen is it affords to you certain protections and benefits as a citizen. Look at some of the things that we read there. Philippians 3:21, Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 10. We once were not a people, but we now are the people of God. There is a great benefit in being a citizen. You are one of the people of God. We are those who once had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained the mercy of God. What a wonderful thing it is to be a recipient of God's mercy. Have you received the mercy of God? Do you know that God has great compassion on sinners? Do you know that even while we were dead and lost in our sins, he sent his son to die for us? And it's all because of his mercy and his grace. But do you know this compassion that God has for you? All these wonderful benefits that are ours because of our citizenship in heaven. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. What an awful thing it is to be a stranger and a foreigner and alone in a foreign land. But we're not that anymore. Fellow citizens, saints, members of the household of God. What a great privilege this is. What marvelous benefits come to God's citizens. What else do we see there? We see that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Christ is the foundation upon which we build our lives. And we see that together we are being built into a dwelling place of God. What a wonderful thing it is to be a citizen of heaven. And that's our home. And God calls us to be his people in this world. He calls us to begin living our heavenly life now in this world. He calls us not to just sit back and wait for it to happen, because one day, well, Christ will come, he'll do it all, I'll be in heaven, everything will be fine. No, 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 no. The fact of your citizenship in heaven has an effect on you right now. It establishes your origin, it says who you are. It identifies the people that you associate with and have these things in common with. It determines your new allegiances and your new affections, because you're not the person you used to be anymore. It changes your nature. It requires of you certain duties and responsibilities as one of God's people, things that he requires of you. It's not just the church coming down with a big heavy hand saying, you must do this. These are things that God requires of all his people, because you're one of his. And it affords you wonderful protection and benefits being a member of God's kingdom. Do you know, do you have this great certainty that you are a citizen of heaven? What a glorious thing it is to be part of this new kingdom that God has built through Christ. What a great thing it is to be his child and to be one of his people. Do you have this assurance and this certainty? Do you have this new identity stamped on you for all to see, for all of eternity, that you now are a citizen of heaven and that you will be in his kingdom forever? Well, we should thank God with all our being for these great privileges which are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ.